pray that you do. Turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 27. And we appreciate being traveling all the way from Tucson, Arizona. So if we were to give out awards today, he would get the award of the person that's traveled the furthest. Amen. But we appreciate that and appreciate him being here. And I believe he's leaving this Wednesday. So we do need to be much in prayer for his safe return to Arizona there, where it's probably a lot hotter there than it is here. Amen. Need to be much in prayer for Jenny and her sisters, her siblings, as they're on a little vacation. So we do need to be much in prayer for them, that God would keep them safe. Amen. We're going to do something a little bit different, as I always want to stand and read the Word of God. Excuse me. But we've got a few verses of Scripture here in chapter number 27. So what we're going to do this morning, you're going to be seated as I read, and then we're going to stand and pray. Amen. If you found your place in St. Matthew, chapter number 27, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. And I want us to pay close attention to the Scripture here. I want us to realize what's going on and keep in mind exactly where we are in God's Word here and what is going on and what is taking place. But in Matthew, chapter number 27, in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 19, the Bible says, When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, this is Pilate's wife, sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they would ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now I want us to understand right here that not only are they in the midst of the governors and the priests and the whole crowd, the whole multitude was around and was witnessing what was going on. But Pilate saith unto them, The governor answered and said unto them, Where of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Then Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with the Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, listen what it says. They platted a crown of thorns. So the crown of thorns have not yet been placed on his head. Platted, they made the crown of thorns. They put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Listen to that again. And sitting down, the soldiers, those that were around him, and sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I'm going to ask us to stand, and I'm going to ask Brother Bill, if he would, to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bill, for a good humble prayer, you may be seated. As God began to stir my heart with this scripture, I want to go the direction that he would see fit that we would go this morning, not to try to do this on my own, because without him, I am nothing. Amen. I'm nothing anyway, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But I want us to think about this scripture, and first, as we often do, as preachers often do at the end of the service, direct to those that may be lost. But I want to do that in the beginning. I want to call to those that are lost and those that have never been saved. If there's one here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I couldn't think of a better day as of today to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at everything that Jesus went through here in chapter number 27. And I know through the scripture here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that there's different, not it's the same account, but different things that these men that God has put on their heart to write down. But St. Matthew talks about first that he was stripped of his garments. Amen. The garments that he wore when he stood before them, he was stripped of his garments. He was placed upon him a scarlet robe. And next we see that he was a crown of thorns was made. And the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. And those soldiers and the people that had called and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," they had bowed down and mocked him. They had took then that scarlet robe off of him and then placed his own garments back on him. And after this, they mocked him even more and spat upon him and hit him on the head or smote him on the head with the reed that he had in his hands. And they stripped him again, as the scriptures tell us, that he was naked. He was humiliated in front of all those people. And then he was led away to crucify him. And after he got to the place of Golgotha, which is to say a place of a skull, he was nailed to the cross. Amen. We need to keep this in our mind as Christians. What Jesus Christ had went through on that very day that he was taken to the Mount Calvary. Amen. But I believe when he got to Golgotha, when he got to that place of the skull, and he was getting ready to be crucified, I believe willingly he laid himself down on that cross. Amen. I don't believe there was another person that had to help him lay down on that cross. Amen. But when he laid down on that cross, they pierced his hands and his feet, amen. They have drove spikes, not 16 penny nails, amen. I'm talking about what would probably be equivalent to a railroad spike, amen. They had drove them into his hands and his feet, amen. And while he had hung on that cross, while he was bearing the sins of you and me, bearing the sins of the world upon that cross, upon his shoulders, amen, they pierced his side. They took that spear and went up to him and drove it into his side, not just a little ways, but a long ways into his side. Drove that spear into his side. And the Bible says, out forth came water and blood. Amen. His body was drained on that cross for you and I. He had every last drop of blood had dripped down Calvary's cross. Amen. And he died with the sins of this world placed upon him. He died. He died. He gave up the ghost. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is finished. Now I want us to make something very clear right here. When we look at the things that Jesus said, the saving things that Jesus said on the cross, amen. One of those, it said, it is finished. I want you to know right now, he did not mean that he was going to die, be buried, and never be resurrected again. He said it was finished, amen. Now you and I have a way to Calvary, amen. That's what was finished. That's what was paved with the blood that he shed that day, amen. One of the other things that he said was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want us to look right here, and I'm not even, you can see that in chapter number 27, in Matthew verse number 46, he says that. I want you to look at the very words that he says throughout the Bible and throughout the Gospels. Who does he talk about being his father, amen? He talks about God being his father. But when he was on that cross, he was on that cross for you and I. He was on that cross to take away the sin of the world, for sin to be forgiven, amen. I tell you what, we've got a whole train of thought. The way this world has trained us to thought today is not God's way, amen. We need to get back to the old way and think like God thinks, amen. But I tell you what, when he said these very words, my God, he could not call him Father anymore, amen, because he had bore your sins. He had bore my sins. He had bore the sins of the world. They was placed on him, amen. And that's what he died for, amen. He died for us that we could have a place to go and ask for forgiveness of our sins. He called him my God, and he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? God, his father, turned his back on him because he was placed. What was placed upon him was your sins and my sins. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ done for us. Think about it. Think about everything that he went through. We see in the scripture. Well, I may just go on a little too far here, but I'm just going to read it anyway, amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, he was God, amen. Y'all going to have to forgive me. I'm going to have to get rid of this tie this morning, amen. This thing is about to choke me today. Lisa will tell you, when I start coughing, I can't stop or start sneezing. My throat seems like it's raw as rawhide this morning. Amen. So y'all just forgive me. I'm so sorry. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of you and I, made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Amen. I tell you what, you just begin to think about the things that Jesus Christ done on that old rugged cross. He done it for you and he done it for me. And I tell you what, we can say it. It's already been said millions and millions of times, 2,000 years ago till now. Amen. But we're going to say it even more. If it had just been you or if it had just been me, he'd have still went to that cross. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today, if there's somebody that has never been saved, just think about what he done for you. That way you could be saved, amen. I tell you what, if the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart to be saved, come forth and be saved. Pull me after the service, pull me away. I'll sit down with you, we'll pray together, and I'll try to help you as best I can to show you the Roman road, amen. But if you're saved today, and you've not staying on that straight and narrow path that God wants you to stay on, amen, you can get back on that path, and he'll lead you into the path of righteousness. What he says, for his name's sake, amen. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, it was for his name's sake. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was not his father anymore, amen. He couldn't call him father, amen, because he bore your sins and my sins on that cross, amen. And I tell you what, don't wait. If God's knocking on your heart, the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart to come forth, you stop service right in the middle of it. All you got to do is raise your hand. I mean, we'll come to this altar. We'll go wherever you want to. And we'll bow down and ask God to help you. Amen. I tell you what. Just begin to think about some things this week. And how God just began to press on my heart to preach this message. And just thought about this scripture here. And we look in verse number 13. It says this. Matthew chapter number 27. He says, then said Pilate unto him, let's go back to verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. He said nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? They witness against thee. And I want to preach a message as God is my helper today. As I'm just clay in the potter's hands. I want to preach the message titled this, We the People. We the People. If we'll notice in verse number 12 and verse number 13, Pilate said, they accused you. It was the multitude. It was the very people that Jesus Christ came to this earth for. Amen. The Bible says, the Word of God says that he came to his own and his own received him not. Amen. The very people that he came to that would not receive him was making accusations against him. The very people that he went to be saved were making accusations against him. They had scourged him. They mocked him. They spat upon him. Listen to what the Word of God says. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. I want to preach this message titled this, We the People. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. The very people he came to, amen, it was the ones that hung him on the cross. The ones that had sat right there and said, crucify him, crucify him. Thank you, Brother Houston. The ones that were wanting Barabbas, a robber or a murderer, whatever he was, a sinner, amen. They was wanting him to be released back into society. But they said, crucify Jesus, amen. The very people he witnessed to for three and a half years that he was during the time that God had gave him when he was during his ministry, amen. The very people he loved, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world, amen. Those people he loved. But yet they said, crucify him, crucify him. The very people he was willing to take their sin upon himself for said, crucify him, crucify him. The very people he was willing to die for. The very people he had those spikes drove in his hands and his feet for. The very people he came to this world to save were standing there. They had witnessed against him. They had turned him in. I mean, they had done everything that they could except hang him on that cross themselves. And yet they said, crucify him. Crucify him. The very people that Jesus came to die for had put him on that cross. In verse number 14, it says this, and he answered to him never a word. Amen. He answered to them never a word. I want you to think about this for a minute. I'm going to have to slow down because my voice is getting ready to go out. What would you have done if you were put in that situation? If you were Jesus and you were standing before Pilate and those people that were crying, crucify him, crucify him. What would you do? What would you say? We see what Jesus said. He never spoke a word. He just sat there, stood before that whole multitude. Well, I'm going to tell you what you and I do. Just as the tomb that had never, nobody been laid in, that Jesus Christ, the sepulcher that was laid in, we would open our mouth so quick, quicker than that tomb was opened up for Jesus Christ to rise. Amen. We would start railing back on them. We would start telling them of the sin that they had in their life, the things that they were doing wrong. See, that's what's wrong with society today, amen. We have forgot what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we start being the judge of everybody else. We start looking at the people and start hating the people for the sin that they got in their life, amen. I'm here to tell you, you're doing the wrong thing. I've done the wrong thing. Judge not yet, you be judged, amen. We are being the judges of this world, amen. There's only one true judge, amen. He is the God of the Father, amen. He is God of heaven, amen. He is the Father of Jesus Christ. He is the Father of you and I, amen. You know exactly what you would do if they was people railing on you and they was people that had drove a crown of spikes onto your head. You know exactly what you would say. You know exactly what you would think. If you were the one that was being hit on the head with a reed with that crown of thorns on your head, you know exactly what you would say. If you were stripped all your clothes, naked and humiliated in front of all of those people, amen, you'd start having hatred in your heart, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing that Jesus didn't have on that cross, and he didn't have hatred in his heart, amen. He didn't hate you. He didn't hate me. He didn't hate those people that were there that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. The other thing that he said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. They was loving that man's heart. They was loving his heart, but not yours and I. Not your heart and my heart. We say we got love, but we don't have love. Amen. You know what we do today? We tolerate the sin and hate the sinner, amen. Instead of hating the sin and tolerating the sinner, amen. We tolerate the sin. We've got this all backwards in this world today, amen. We need to hate the sin and love the sinner, amen. Because Jesus Christ loved the sinner, amen. He hated the sin, but loved the sinner. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Amen. We don't have the mind of Christ today. And if we can't have the mind of Christ, we can't have the heart of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ done something that was virtually impossible for all of us. But yet, if we look down through Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, there it starts talking about that he was made in the form of a man. He ate, he slept, he drank, he breathed, his eyes blink, amen. He woke up in the morning and had the matter in his eye. He had that sleepiness in his eye, amen. His belly hurt, amen. He may have been able, through God's power, go 40 days and 40 nights with not a thing entered into his mouth, amen. But I tell you what, he done it for you and he done it for me. But he was still a man. He was still human. And amen, he had the love in his heart. It's a good thing. When it says that he was made in the form of a man, it's a good thing the Bible didn't say he was made like you and me. Amen. Because he would have had hatred in his heart. See, we've got this thing all backwards. We've got this thing all wrong. What would you have done if that had been you? We'd get so mad, the hatred of the devil would fill our hearts. When people started saying, crucify Mickey, crucify Mickey. Knowing all the good things that I tried to do, all the people that I tried to lead to God, but yet they stood there and they said, crucify him, crucify him. We'd get mad. That hatred would fill our hearts. I believe it was Brother Dwight that said something about the Muslims this morning. I started thinking about them. And thinking about our other denominations and our other religions. Well, guess what? It was the religious people that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Those Pharisees, they were the most religious people in the world. They knew the law, they knew the Bible, they knew God's Word from front to back. But yet, when we start talking about other denominations or other religions, we get hatred into our heart. When we start hearing the names Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses, we start getting hatred in our heart. Why is that? Why do we start filling up with pride because we call ourselves Christians? Why does that hatred seem to bubble over in our hearts and we just get profound like we're better than they are? Well, guess what? If you were raised in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq, India, any of those places there, more than likely 99.9%, you would be a Muslim. You would be a Muslim. Think about what we are doing here today. Do we truly have the love of God in our hearts? Do we truly have the mind of Christ that He had? I want to read this to you. I've mentioned before that I picked up something. I wouldn't dare want to bring it with me. But I picked up something when we were on vacation at the coast. Amen. Where Baptists go, at the coast. I picked up a book for $2, $3, or $4. I believe I paid $4 for that one because it was hardback. And if I was brought it in here today, probably some of you would have asked me to leave and never come back, knowing that I just wanted to read from it, to read you what's wrote in it. But it's the Quran. It's what the Muslim believe to be their Bible. You know why you carry the King James Bible today? It's because you were raised to believe that that's the Word of God. Tradition. If you were born in India, you by chance would have just very few pieces of the Quran to help you in your life. You wouldn't have the whole Quran. This is a translation of the Quran into English. Of course, I could not read Greek, Hebrew, or whatever, or Aramaic. I can't read that. So when I found this, I'd bought it. And I want to read the very first book. It's laid out almost like the Bible that you hold in your hand today. In the first book, it says this: "As for the unbelievers," listen to this very closely, "it is all the same of you. Warn or do not warn them, they will not believe. God has sealed up their hearts, their hearing, and their vision with a shroud, and terrible punishment awaits them." What is God's will today? The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. Amen. I believe that the Quran was wrote after, way after, the books that make up the King James Bible was wrote. I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that some of the books that we hold in that one book is over 4,000 years old. The Quran came after that. A lot of these other religions came after the Bible was translated into English for us to have, amen. Or on the Dead Sea Scrolls that it was wrote 4,000 years ago. Amen. There's a lot of things have changed in 4,000 years, amen. But God's Word has stayed the same, amen. I'll not go on against God's Word, amen. But there's things that have happened in this world today. There's people that's came along and said, you know what, I believe I could write a good book, amen. John Milton, I believe his name's John, 1600 and something. He wrote a book that was called, it was a poetic book. There's 10 books in it. Basically, this book that he had wrote, I wish I could think of the name of it. Anyway, it's got just about a handful of characters in it. It's got Satan, it's got God, it's got Adam, and it's got Eve, and it's got the Son of God in it. And all it is a poetic book, amen, to say what happened to this world and how it came into existence and how sin fell into this world, amen. How Satan was cast to hell, amen. Let me read on. But it's not God's will that any should perish. On down through this book, this book said this, God extinguished their light and left them in darkness, unseeing, deaf, dumb, and blind. I wrote this down, John 3:19, 8:12, 9:5, 12:46, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It all says something that has to do with this. Men love darkness rather than light. Men exiting the light from their hearts, not God. God's wish is not any should perish, amen. Let me read on. Those who have believed and done good deeds. Romans 10:14 says this, how shall they believe without a preacher? Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. In the King James Bible, it says, there is none good, no, not one. Amen. It's not your good deeds that get you to heaven. It's not anything that you can do except Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. It says also, God thereby leads many astray. I'm going to go back to that every time I read something. It's not God's wish that any should perish. He will not lead you astray. Amen. God said to the angels, kneel before Adam. They knelt, all except Satan, who disclaimed, grew proud, and became an unbeliever. Amen. James 2:19. You know that's not true. It also says, do not come near this tree or else you will transgress. Satan seduced them away from it. We know that's not true. He didn't seduce Adam, he seduced Eve. If you read on, this is just the first chapter, the first chapter of this book. If you read on, it sounds something similar to the Ten Commandments. But it jumps from Genesis, what sounds like a little bit of Genesis, a little bit of Exodus. So why do we hate them so much? Why do we hate Muslim people? Why do we hate the very people that was made from the dust of the ground, just like you and I was, made from the same image of God, just like you and I was? Why do we hate the people so much in this world? Because we look at who they are, amen. We don't look at their heart, amen. Jesus Christ didn't look at you, amen. He looked at your heart. He looked what was inside of it. And he said, there's another soul I can save, amen. There's another reason I'll go to the cross and shed my life's blood. Amen. I started thinking about me. I'm not pointing fingers. Amen. I might point when I preach, but I got three or four pointing back at me. Amen. This is just much, if not more, for me than it is for you. Why do we hate people so much instead of hating the sin that's in people's lives? Until we start hating the sin that's in this world, that the Satan has got wrapped around his finger, amen, and start loving the people, not loving what they do, but loving the people for being a human being just like you, because God made them just like he made you. You're no better than they are. I'm no better than you are, and you're no better than I am. We're all made the same. We look a little different, speak a little different. Think about the Tower of Babel. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to get to God. They wanted to get to heaven. And what did God do? He tore down the tower and he made them go their separate ways, speaking different languages. That's the answer right there. Why do they speak Aramaic and you speak English? Because God designed it that way. Because there was people that had sin in their heart. God didn't hate them. See, God was even given the chance of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think it grieved God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Of course it did. He knew that Lot was going to be there during this. He knew that there was a man that was going to try to save Sodom and Gomorrah. But they wouldn't turn their hearts. They didn't have a fear for God. Amen. We ought not to hate the people, but hate the sin. Because the Bible says here in Matthew chapter number 27, we the people said, crucify him, crucify him. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you'd have been there, you'd have said the same thing. You'd have run with the crowd just like I would have. Amen. But yet, 2014, we're still doing it today. We'd rather look at somebody that with a beer bottle in their hand or a liquor bottle in their hand or a crack pipe in their hand. We'd rather look at them and say, crucify them. Crucify them. Instead of get down on our hands and knees and start praying for them. Amen. Amen. Instead of trying to be a witness to them. You know, I had a gentleman over the last 2 weeks. He's a paint rep for LP in the finishing department. We was talking about witnessing. He's gave me a CD and five or six pieces of paper on how to witness. I listened to it. I read it. I thought, man, this is good stuff. You want me to tell you how to witness? Love somebody. Love them. Love them. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. If you show them love and compassion and mercy and pray for them, when's the last time? And yes, it is physically possible for a human being to bow on their hands and knees and pray with such great anguish that their sweat become as great drops of blood. It has scientifically been proven that a human being can do that. And Jesus Christ, when he prayed in a garden of Gethsemane with such anguish for all the people in the world, for you and for me, when he called our names out, when he prayed for us and wept, his sweat became as great drops of blood. When's the last time you prayed with great anguish for somebody? Your neighbor. Your family. Instead of hating them. Instead of shutting them away. Wrap your arms around them and love them. Hey man, doesn't mean you have to partake of what they're doing. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. He didn't say stay away from them. He said love them with compassion. Love them with mercy. And love them with grace. You, young people going back to school, you can't get mad at those kids that you go to school with just because they're not living right. You got to love them. You got to tell them you'll pray for them. Show them that you're a witness unto God. Show them that you're an example of God. Amen. They'll appreciate it when you get older. I can remember some of the older young people that I grew up with, amen. They didn't live for God then, and they're not living for God now, amen. But just think, if they'd have been an example to me, amen, and I could have got my life, God could have got my life straightened out a lot quicker than he did, amen. Love, compassion, mercy. We get so mad towards people for what they're doing instead of getting mad at their sin in their life. We get so mad at people, it grieves us that we can't even pray for them. Today's standard, we hate the sinner and tolerate the sin. I'm going to read a little more Philippians here. When are we going to start hating the sin and loving the sinner? The Bible says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How are we doing that last part? How are we confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord when we got hatred in our heart for people? The Bible says, to them that knoweth to do good and doeth evil, to them it is a sin. Maybe you've got friends at school that's never went to church. Maybe you've got friends that's never understood the true presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, they don't know the things that they do is wrong. They don't know the things that they do in their life they shouldn't. But yet we hate them for it. Oh, look at them. Shut them away. To them that knoweth to do good and doeth evil, to them it is a sin. And you're going to be held more accountable for the things that you do than the things that they do. Amen. When are we going to start hating the sin and loving the sinner? Matthew chapter number 7, and I'll be through. Matthew chapter number 7, in verse 1, the Bible says this. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Before you start judging somebody and hating somebody, look at yourself and look at your own life. Before we start talking about somebody, amen. Before we start gossiping, murmuring, and complaining about somebody, let's start looking at our own life. Verse 4, the Bible says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. A beam. Think about one of these beams here. That's what God's calling a beam. Just think about that beam being in your eye when you're trying to pull out a little stick out of your brother's eye. Is that love? Is that compassion? I don't know about you today. I need more love of God. I need more love of Jesus Christ in my heart to hate the sin.